This is the Kinky Cast. This is an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 58 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. In today's episode, we chat with Rebecca and Trevor of Pleasure Evolution on cultivating your sexual authenticity. Here's your hosts, Woody and Lee.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to another edition of the Kinky Cast. Tonight, sitting across the desk from me is the lovely Lee. How are you, Lee?
I'm fantastic. How are you, Woody?
I am so good.
Good.
I'm better now.
Oh, all right.
On Skype with us tonight
is Rebecca, who is a sex coach, sensuality mentor, workshop leader. She's transforming the world one sex life at a time.
How good is that? That's a good thing.
It's called Pleasure Evolution. And along with her is Trevor. Trevor is all about polyamory. Which is good.
So Trevor, what are you all about?
What am I all about? Professionally, I'm doing work as a tantric shaman and a BDSM coach. I am a dom in my own private life. And yes, I am polyamorous. Rebecca and I are partners, and I have other partners.
So you're a BDSM coach. What does that entail?
Primarily making sure people that are getting into or getting deeper into the BDSM community are doing so safely, with the push on 50 Shades of Grey and a lot of other things in mass media. I don't think that safety is really being pushed enough. Mm-hmm. So I'm making sure people are being introduced to the lifestyle in a safe way, and that they're learning the ins and the outs of it without an agenda.
Say I'm new to the lifestyle.
Right.
I contact you. Do you send me to a website and tell me to read this?
I never want to charge someone for something they can do for free. So anybody can go on the websites and they can read until their eyeballs bleed.
Okay.
No, I would want them to come to a munch, first off, a meeting in a vanilla setting where they can talk to people and see that just because you're kinky doesn't mean that you're weird or strange. That's just a bonus. It can be a safe place to explore a different part of your sexuality and a different part of your what turns you on.
Okay.
But Lee, one of the things that we do is that we offer classes, workshops, play parties, so that people can actually experiment. Because I think some people come into the lifestyle, they know their stuff, but they're not sure what they like. And so we do an intro class that actually gives people an opportunity to play from both the top and the bottom, mm-hmm. and kind of go from station to station. So everybody will take turns tying. Everyone will take turns flogging. Everyone will take turns with an experience of mental domination. And we encourage them to treat it like research. And that's where the training piece comes in. It's like, if you go into something hoping you're going to create a good scene right off the bat, you could very easily be disappointed. But if you approach an experience, I'm going to see what I like. I'm going to see what my body is turned on by. So that's part of the training, is learning how to do it properly and really looking at where your arousal comes from, where you feel the most self-expressed.
Rebecca, so many people come into the lifestyle and they say, well, I'm a dominant or I'm a submissive, and they've never played or experienced it. And so your sampler approach actually lets people fall into an identity.
Absolutely. And, you know, my trainer, my mentor, like to describe them as appetites. And I think a lot of people take on an identity right away and maybe don't even realize that there are so many ways that submission or dominance express themselves. I know for many years, I didn't think that I was the right kind of dominant because I wasn't an Amazon wearing, you know, all black and high heels and really severe. And I began to see that there were other ways to express that. And the trick, the joy, is when you find someone whose appetites to receive match your appetites to give, and vice versa.
Absolutely.
It sounds really interesting. I know I was looking at your website. You have some classes coming up. They are in Asheville. I thought it was interesting. One of them was a get-together at a coffee shop. Here it is, Erotic Literary and Pleasure Salon.
Oh, that's the reading.
Yeah, the reading. Yeah. So you guys are into just a lot of different things, from poetry to polyamory.
Yes. Well, I'm an aspiring writer, among many other things. And Rebecca here is a former professional comedian.
Yep. I did several years of stand-up comedy up and down the East Coast back in the early 90s. And I think what you're seeing is, the title of this show, right, is Sexual Authenticity. And that's something that both of us are really passionate about, that what we want is for people to be able to give themselves permission to like what they like, to love what they love, to love who they love. You know, so many people think they're having a flat sex life. Marriages are going south. They're not connected to each other. And I think it's because people are not willing to really embrace all of who they are sexually. Probably a lot of your listeners, they may already be in the lifestyle, but maybe not. Mm-hmm. We've been told our whole lives that there's one way to do sex. It's missionary with the lights off and that's it. And it takes a certain amount of courage to say, you know, I found this book and someone was getting spanked in there and that really turned me on. I might like to try that. Or, you know, I don't think monogamy is right for me. I have appetites. Not one person is going to fulfill everything that I want. So how do I pursue that lifestyle? So Trevor and I put on all kinds of events that are geared towards allowing people to uncover more of who they uniquely are as sexual beings. And so the Erotic Literary Salon, we get everything from people reading old Victorian novels to Persian poetry to hardcore S&M.
To drag queens.
We had a couple of folks, a couple of guys in negligees this week reciting poetry. I just love it. The sea of humanity and the way people express themselves just really lights me up.
I found that really interesting. You know, I'm not a writer, but I love to go listen to readings. And when you write about what you love or when you speak about what you love, it comes out. People tend to listen to you more. See someone that is just so knowledgeable and so immersed into what they're teaching you or what they're wanting you to learn, I think you tend to gravitate towards those types of people. If someone new to the lifestyle came to your site, they could actually take baby steps because it's, you know, they can go listen to poetry and then they can go to this being social evening of fun. And they can, it seems like it's very low key and it doesn't, now looking at your website, it doesn't seem like there's any pressure put on people to do anything that they don't want to do. Going around hands on teaching people the proper way to swing a whip or a flogger or a paddle or whatever their kink might be, that's pretty cool. Is this the types of things that you teach in your BDSM classes?
Thanks for asking that. I mean, I think that there's a couple of things that make us different. First of all, our partnership, both as lovers and business partners, really shines through. We've been told that we're very funny. We're sort of the George and Gracie of sex.
BDSM sex and comedy tour.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's different too, that, you know, our approach is really that this is supposed to be fun. Mm-hmm. And we want you to be having fun. We want you to be coming from your pleasure. And so that's part of what makes us different. And I think that we have a synergy. You know, I might be more about your personal development, and Trevor's very technically savvy and really good at communicating to someone and encouraging someone to express themselves. And where do you hit them? Where is it safe to hit someone? Where is it not? One of the things that we teach is how to use your negotiation as foreplay rather than a gauntlet that has to be run until you get to the really fun part, which is the scene. No, the scene is everything from the meeting to the discussing of hard limits, the discussing of soft limits, the discussing what would turn you on and finding that meeting place. All of that is the dance. And so we really come from that place when we're teaching. I think another thing that makes us different is that we really come from a space of no judgment.
None.
So we'll throw a play party and we'll have people from 18 to 80. Show up. and feel comfortable and play with each other. We'll have people who are in various stages of transition from male to female, from female to male. We've had people come to play parties who are heteroflexible, who are bi-curious and homoflexible. And all of that is welcome. You know, people have said that we really set a container where they feel safe and seen and can come out as who they uniquely are, and that we'll embrace them and we will encourage them to be that and find their tribe.
That sounds really, really nice.
We'll be right back after this word from the Southeast Leather Fest.
Make connections the day you arrive at Speed Networking. No need to act your age at our Littles pageant. Get really messy with us at the Splosh Party. Join us at Southeast Leather Fest, where we're erecting a vision.
Well, I'm erect, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Visit SCLeatherFest.com. Come to South June 11th through the 14th in Atlanta and erect your vision.
We're back with Rebecca and Trevor. In these play parties that you host that have a mixture of everything you can think of coming in the door, a lot of BDSM is along the lines of technical, flogging, paddling, spanking, X, Y, Z, all the different things. Some people put a firewall at sexual activity.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say that sex is part of BDSM. What's your stance on that?
I think the juice belongs to the participants. If you're in a scene for mental stimulation, that's something that's worked out during negotiation. There's no pressure when it's either in a play party or in a private session with a client that they're expected to make this sexual. Let me rephrase that. Not sexual, but physical. I believe that sex starts long before the body is actually engaged. Sex starts with your mind.
Right.
And BDSM is very much a mind trip from beginning to end. And some people prefer to keep it in their mind. Some people prefer light physicality. And some prefer their aftercare to involve sex, or even their during to involve sex. There's no judgment between us. Both of us are pansexual. We don't have a preference on plumbing. We're concerned about the individual.
Well, and, you know, I think we all know that there are many reasons to go into a scene. Sometimes you want it to have an erotic component, and sometimes it's just about release. It's about endorphins. It's about surrender, connection. But one of the things that is unique about our parties is that we are blending the worlds of sacred sexuality and BDSM. So, you know, swingers, for example, will go to a swinger party where it's all about having sex. It's not so much about connection necessarily, emotional connection. And there's some dungeon equipment in a corner somewhere. A dungeon party, very often there's all kinds of whacking going on and not so much kissing, not so much fondling. And as you said, it's frowned upon. So the parties that we're throwing, we spend the first hour at least in icebreaker games, which encourage people to find their voice. Can I look at you? Can I look at your breasts? Thank you. And then you look at their breasts. Would you look at my breasts? Thank you. You know, practicing that asking, practicing hearing no, practicing saying no. We talk about safe. We have everyone give a safer sex elevator speech so that people get comfortable talking about that. That's really important. You don't hear that a lot at parties.
Elaborate on that, please.
Yeah, the philosophy is if you're on an elevator and you only got three floors and the person standing next to you on the elevator you want to engage in sex with, you've got three floors to tell them your background history, basically. And it's just a way to contain the conversation so people can learn to say it, spit it out, get it precise. Hi, I'm Trevor Jones. I'm pansexual. I sleep with men, women, and trans. I've been tested in March for the following STDs. They all came back negative. I'm tested every March. I have no physical ailments. What else do we might include?
Your prophylactic use. I always use condoms. I use whatever condoms for oral sex, not oral sex. I don't kiss on the mouth. I have a primary partner, but I'm operating as a free agent, or these are my agreements with my partner. And to have those conversations, you know, we talk about in the community a lot, safe, sane, and consensual.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very important conversation, because how can you really relax into a sensual experience if you're afraid of dying or catching something. But it can feel awkward. So at the party, we get those conversations happening right up front.
I think people need to talk about it.
Absolutely.
First off, they have to hear themselves say the word, because that's really hard for some people.
And I should say, Lee, you mentioned that we've been throwing these in Asheville because we are Asheville-based, but we are starting to take our show on the road. We're looking for other towns to go to and spend a long weekend doing a variety of different events and, you know, also doing some private coaching sessions with people who might want what we've got. You know, want the support in coming out more.
The elevator speech, I'd heard about that in a marketing class that I had taken. So I guess it can, BDSM or selling cameras or whatever, you know,
you're selling
it
yourself.
Works.
Yeah, in this case, you're selling yourself. You're saying, why do you want me?
Yeah.
Now, other than the obvious, you find me physically attractive. I'm safe. I know what I'm doing, and I have this appetite that matches yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the, you know, the idea of you coming to, say, Nashville would be great. there's lots of new people that I see at Munch's all the time that could use something like this. You know, you're not pressured into doing anything.
Right.
And on the backside, they will guide you in the right direction. Because when I first came into the scene, there wasn't really a scene that I knew about. It was all friend of a friend of a friend, and you had to have someone vouch for you. And it's still kind of like that, and I was told, like I said earlier, to go to a website and read about submission and being a slave, because he was convinced that I was a sub with a slave heart.
Boy, was he wrong.
He was wrong. But for years, I felt bad about not being able to like that slave-like attitude that he was looking for. Not the one I'm with now, but you know what I mean? So I put pressure on myself to try to be something that I wasn't. And that's why I'm real adamant about people getting education. And so I look forward to maybe talking to you guys more about coming here. That would be really, really good. I'm sure we could set something up.
But we are starting to take our show on the road.
Frolicon. We're quite excited about what we're teaching there, which is a class on sexual communication.
Oh.
And that's also a weekend workshop that we teach about how do you communicate to a partner how you like to be touched and where your spots are in a way that doesn't stop the fun. How do you elicit information from a partner about that? Maybe you have someone who's quiet and not very good at communicating, and you're wondering whether they're really having a good time. So that kind of give and take in a way that keeps things juicy and hot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of what we're teaching is repatterning behavior, because media, literature, it's the whole shebang of our culture has created an ideal of romance that doesn't truly work in the real world. I mean, the simultaneous orgasm is the ultimate unicorn in sex. You will have much better sex if you agree, you know what? It's your turn right now. You know what? Now it's my turn. And you both concentrate on each other's pleasure in a give and take, a flow and an ebb, an exchange of energy, information, and sex from a loving place,
mm-hmm.
whether it's from stimulating your G-spot or flogging you with a leather flogger.
Well, you know, from the time I was very young, it was, we have to reach simultaneous orgasm. And I couldn't find the unicorn very often. But on the same token,
right.
Ever since I decided I was a gentleman and said ladies first, life has been much better.
Oh, yeah. You know,
yeah,
I've never,
right on, Woody.
Yeah, I've never liked the idea of a 69. I've always said, let me do you, and then, you know, you can do me, and we can come together at the end. I just think that works better for me, anyways. And your classes, I know I talked about newbies coming into the lifestyle, but also for us old folks who have been around for a while and need that boost, you know, need to revamp our relationships. I know Woody and I have had long talks about, you know, our sex life and our play life, and it's a constant communication with us, you know, and it's hard sometimes to say those words that you're not getting what you need. But sometimes that makes the outcome so much better if you're able to push past that wall that you put up of hurting someone's feelings, you know. And if you're open and honest with each other till it hurts, I think the outcome can be better. But getting people to that point of being able to communicate like that is something that I think a lot of people could use guidance.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of the clients that we see are couples who have been together for a long time. And, you know, there's lots of things that can affect your sexuality in the relationship. You don't have new relationship energy anymore. You're aging, so your body functions differently. Our appetites, our desires will change. And how do you navigate that? How do you negotiate that, as you said, in a way that doesn't, it doesn't have to hurt your partner's feelings if you both agree that you're on the same side of making your relationship more juicy and more strong? Mm-hmm. Those conversations can be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Also, often what we see, couples will come to us because one of them is kinky and the other one isn't. Or one of them wants to try polyamory and the other one doesn't. And they need help. They need someone who can help them see that remind them that they're on the same side and help them come up with solutions where everybody wins. I don't know about you, Lee, but as a woman, I was certainly taught that what you did, love looked like sacrifice. You know, you put everyone else first before yourself. And mm-hmm. what we've ended up with are generations of angry, dissatisfied women. So helping women find their voice and ask for what they want is something that I'm very passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And having couples, you know, so this couple comes and he's kinky, but she's not really. And yet helping them find where they can intersect. Well, he said, you know, I enjoy being tied up and left. And she's like, you know, I wouldn't mind that. I might like to tie you up and just put you in the closet and go do something else. And they manage to find places where their appetites intersect.
That's important, I think, to keep, like you guys said, the juices flowing. You mm-hmm. have to be able to talk to one another. And I've always said that communication is the key, especially when you're in a polyamory relationship. If you don't talk about it, you're going to die. You know? I mean, that green-eyed, jealous monster is going to come out one time too many. And, you know, if you're not talking about the process, any type of relationship is hard. But when you mm-hmm. can talk about it, and then if you can't talk about it, you have someone who can guide you and talk to you and maybe give you the tools you need to be able to talk about it more successfully, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where some people have difficulty because I was always brought up to please your partner and to please your kids and make sure everybody's taken care of. And we forget about ourselves. Mm-hmm. We forget that it's okay to say, these are my needs. I need you to fulfill those needs. What are your needs? And like a ping pong match, you know, back and forth, and hopefully you can figure it all out. It is a process that I fight every single day. He can mm-hmm. call me at work and he can tell me something about one of his partners. And sometimes it gets all over me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to stop and say, what's wrong with me? You know, why am I feeling this way? And I think that's good that I can recognize when that's happening. And then I talk to him about it. We have to negotiate this always. Every day is like a negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, polyamory is not an easy lifestyle to live. I know Woody has his hands full.
Could you remind me your dynamic? It's Woody and three.
Woody and Lee were married.
And two others.
Two other females.
Yes.
And Lee, do you have other partners?
No, not yet. He's open for me to have other partners. But, you know, that mm-hmm. takes time and it takes a lot of commitment. Guys are just a lot of trouble sometimes.
mm-hmm.
You know, I have friends that I see. I have a friend that I've had for 30 years. You know, he'll come to town and we'll get together. And, you know, it's all good. So there's no issues there. So it's all open.
Right.
Her longtime friends, I certainly call lovers because they have loved each other for a long time. There is no reason for me to have any trepidation in that relationship because they care for her as I care for her.
Right.
As long as somebody's respecting one of my partners, I have no problem with it. It's when somebody is coming in with a hidden agenda or just coming in to play them and use them and be done. I don't know if it's the green-eyed monster, but the protection person rears his ugly head.
Yeah. I don't have relationships with other men like he has with other women. You know, he's all in with every single one of us. He loves each one of us, and each one of us brings something to the table for him that's totally different from the other person, which is cool.
Right.
But I don't have anybody else like that for me yet. Not that I'm really looking right now, but it's not a have-to thing for me.
Right.
So I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think it's wonderful that you're so self-aware that if you notice yourself feeling jealous, that you kind of look at, okay, what's going on with me? Because that's so true, I find, in polyamory. It's like most of the time there are things I'll take completely in stride.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I get triggered, it's usually because I haven't been taking care of myself. I'm hungry, I'm tired, I haven't had enough of my partner's attention, there's something that I want that I haven't asked for, and then I'll hear about some good time with some other lover, and I'll be like, okay, could we not do this right now? You know, that's the best thing. It's like, could I hear about that later?
Yeah. I tell him, I said, you don't need to call me and tell me about this right now.
Yeah, that's when I'll usually say, I would love to hear about that when your fingers are on my pussy. So hold that thought until later.
That's interesting, having my finger on her pussy, telling her about someone else. That's a little weird.
Really? It's kind of a standard with me.
You could try that sometime. You know, I think the ultimate place to get to is not only when you realize that your relationship is good in spite of the metamors, but because of the metamors.
He's blessing,
you know, when
by
you can
way.
Find, you know, I had the unfortunate situation of being in a vanilla first marriage where he cheated on me and left. And at first I was very victimized. Oh, woe is me. And then when I thought about it and I really allowed myself to think about him with that other woman, I realized that there was a little bit of arousal there. And that if we can really let it in, it's possible to be aroused by our partners, other partners and their encounters. But as you said, if we recognize that we all have our own spot in the pantheon and we fulfill different needs in that person's life.
It's funny you use pantheon.
We are both dominant. His other partners are primarily submissives or bottoms. And I also have a submissive and a couple of other lovers. And so people wonder, how does that work? You're both dominant. What do you guys do together? Well, we have an amazing heart connection and mind connection. And the fact that he has other submissives is great because I'm not going to fulfill that part in his life and he's not going to fulfill that need for me. Mm-hmm. But we can come back together and debrief. We can co-top people.
Mm-hmm.
We can go out with both of our submissives on a leash. There's all kinds of ways that you can play it. So I like to tell people, don't rule someone out just because their identification doesn't match your pictures if there's something about them that has a spark for you.
Interesting. So are you two primary to each other?
I'm a little hesitant about using primary.
Okay.
I know many do, especially when you're married to one of your partners.
Right.
But I'm presently with 7 partners.
Oh.
And I don't choose to put a hierarchy on them.
Okay.
My feelings for all 7 of them are very strong and heartfelt, and I don't want to put anyone above any of the others.
Awesome. You're a very busy man.
That's an understatement. 6 women and 1 guy.
I thought I was busy with 3 women.
I gave up sleep for a while.
I guess you did.
I think language has been slow to catch up to what's happening in the world. When there's a hierarchy, I mean, who wants to be secondary? Who wants to be third?
Right. And no one really does. I never wanted to be, quote unquote, second or third or fourth. But I always told him I needed to feel like I was number one with him when I was with him, that all of his attention was focused on me. Is that fair?
Yeah, presence of being. That's one of the most important things that we can teach in a sexual class is when you're there, you have to be 110% there. Mm-hmm. No cell phone distraction, no worrying about the grocery list, no wondering, is the stove on? You have to be there. And I don't mean just when we're having sex. I mean when we're talking over coffee, when we're walking down the street holding hands, you need to be there. And that goes for poly or mono or kink or vanilla. It's like if you want a relationship to last, you have to be present for it.
Mm, yeah.
And that doesn't just mean your body being there. It means being mindful and conscious. Every action you take, every body language, every eye glance has to be done with a purpose that this person means something to you. They're not just another person on the street.
Right. But like, do you go out with all seven at the same time?
The most I've done at once is four, and it's usually scheduling issues. Woody mentioned you can spot polys right away when they all have their calendars out. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I'm actually kind of lucky because if you were to draw sort of, what's that diagram? Vann's diagram?
Venn diagram.
This partner and that partner are also lovers, and this partner and that partner are play partners, and then this partner and that partner are cuddle buddies, but they don't have sex because they're both straight. It's an interesting dynamic, but we're part of the kink community and the sacred sexual community down here. So it's not uncommon for us to have a get-together where five or six of my partners are present all at once.
Okay.
And that can be interesting.
How do you split time, say at a party, between all of them?
First is, am I going to the party by myself or am I going with one of my partners? So if I was to say, Rebecca, there's a show Thursday night. Are you free? Yes. Do you want to go? Yes. So we're going. Oh, I just found out so-and-so and so-and-so and all my these other partners are going to be there also. Well, that's Rebecca's night. So I'm with Rebecca and I won't spend as much time with my other partners. I will spend time with them, but the priority of the evening goes to whoever you dedicated the night to. Mm-hmm. But then again, there's parties we go to or social gatherings we go to where I'm not on a specific date with any one of them. Mm-hmm. So then it's just however I feel for the night. And the same goes for them because with the exception of two or three, most of my partners have other partners or other playmates or other interests. Rebecca is a lot like me in that she's very eclectic. There, I don't think there's anyone born under the sun she didn't have something to talk to about someone about. So she's a fantastic social butterfly. I never have to worry about her being lonely, but I can look across the room and we share a smile. And you know, a lot of times that's all it takes just to let your partner know you're thinking about them.
Yeah.
But yeah, social occasions with multiple partners is a totally different energy entity, a totally different animal than when you get to do one-on-one or two-on-one or four-on-four, five-on-one.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend that he calls his relationships, he's got a prioritized relationship. So I like that terminology. Like if I were to get into another relationship, or I will measure how something is going to affect my relationship with Trevor. And that will have bearing on whether I move forward or not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't matter what spot I actually occupy, Lee. I always think I'm number one.
Well, yeah.
I think everyone should think that and should feel like that with their partner.
You know, and a lot of times I think it's been my own thoughts going haywire. It's not really, you know, anything that he's doing. It's me. I'm perceiving the situation one way and he's perceiving it as everything is fine, you know, and usually everything is fine. It's just for that split second, I have that, well, he's leaning more towards her or he's showing more attention towards her. I don't know. We talk about it and I guess we always will talk about it, which is good.
As long as we do talk about it, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Yeah, I hear you, Lee. I'm fond of saying, you know, women want it all. We want every good thing. And if we hear of some good thing that the other woman's got now, we want it too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but one of those women taught me that thing you like.
Well, yeah, that's true. Sometimes sending them off to other women, they come back with good new tricks.
None of the other women have any other partners as well. So everybody is kind of just all depending upon him. I don't know that that's a good thing. You know.
Are all the women straight?
Yes.
Yeah, sort of, kind of.
My question for you, Lee, would be if you could wave a magic wand, what would be something that you would want to create that you want more of in your life and your relationship?
Time.
Time. Hmm.
Time management. Time envy. And not with other women, but just, we've talked about this many times, it's like, we live together 24/7 and share, you know, the bills and the grocery and, you know, just everything.
Life.
And then I work full time and he works and has several different businesses and, of course, does his show. So he's busy all the time. And it's just, I might get lucky if I have one afternoon with him or one morning with him where it's just me and him. And people think that we're, you know, at it all the time because we have this great space downstairs and, you know, all this equipment that he's built. And it's just awesome, you know. So we have all the good stuff. But it's having the time to do it. And sometimes it's having the want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're just too tired from life and stressed and you need to do some deep breathing exercises to...
Like driving home in the ice...
Yeah.
And getting home and trying to decompress.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you guys remind me so much of the people that we talk to that, you know, it's really challenging in our busy lives to have our sexual connection be a priority.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it really needs to be. And if we do that, everything else falls into line. I am so much more productive and creative when I've had a good orgasm. And sometimes it really does take, particularly when you're in a long-term marriage, you take it for granted that you see each other every day. But when's the last time you said, okay, you know, you don't leave it until you're both going to bed and you're exhausted, right? You pencil it in, you create a morning, and then the morning comes and you're not in the mood. Well, get in the mood.
Do it anyway.
Yeah.
Right? This is what we tell our clients, just start. Yeah. Because particularly if you're older, the turn-on fairy doesn't run through the house like it used to. So sometimes you're just going to say, you know, there's nothing really good on TV. Let's just start.
Yeah.
And see what happens. Mm-hmm. You know, let's just gaze into each other's eyes for a little bit. Let's get a little naked and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. You mean little?
Get a lot.
Get a lot.
Yeah. Get a lot naked.
He's naked all the time.
Naked. But, you know, absolutely. Like, you know, Woody, I'm holding you accountable. I'm going to call you in a couple of weeks and I'm going to ask now.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm always ready.
Oh, all right. Excellent. Maybe I don't need to wait a couple of weeks. I'm going to give you a couple of days.
Yeah, the weekend's coming up. A couple days.
Yeah, there you go.
We live for the weekend. Yeah.
Exactly. Another thing that I find helpful is to get out where the juicy people are. That can really spark things up. So that's why going to a play party is fun. And we like to say that watching is participation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even if you don't do anything at that particular party, you get to see real people.
Having real sex.
Like you asked us, yes, people, we have crosses and spanking benches and mattresses all over the party. And so all kinds of things happen and are available to happen, turned on and lit up, and bring that home with you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds good.
I'm ready now.
Excellent. Our job here is done, Trevor.
We've improved one more sex life.
That's why we say we're transforming the world one sex life at a time.
Well, if we improve Woody, technically we improve four.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Quick word on compersion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's a complicated thing to achieve. And when everybody gets what they want and when everybody else wants what they're getting.
Yeah, a lot of people are completely clueless as to the meaning of the word, let alone how to actually enact it or what it's like to feel it. I can honestly say I don't think poly people ever truly get rid of jealousy. They just learn to approach it, to deal with it, to take its power away and to look at their lover and say, my lover is having fun. They are being pleased. They are being satisfied. Don't I want what's best for my lover? Don't I want them to be happy? I was at a play party and I was doing one thing over on one side of the room. And then I heard the very distinct orgasmic scream of my lover from the other. And I had to stop and take a peek. And I was like, wow, she's having fun. It was all I could do to keep a giant grin from my face because she was having a blast. And that's something I don't think you can teach that. That's something that you have to learn to come to. It's a bit of a self-discovery journey that won't show up until, as you put it, the green-eyed monster has become a tiny little goblin in the corner and is cowering in fear because there's just so much good sex and love going on.
You know, the example you gave is a good one. And whenever somebody is playing Lee or something like that and I'm watching it, first off, I'm having a good time because she's high as a kite and I'm very happy for her. And so in what I call a mixed environment where we're all there, I don't see any real problem with it. Where the problem goes is when she goes off to work and I go off with one of the other partners and then her mind will start filling in the blanks. That's the hard one for her.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes I'm okay with him being with his other partners. I know he's with them. I know what they're doing, you know, what they're talking about. And I'm at work, but he gives me updates. You know, it's like he'll call during the day and says, well, so-and-so's coming over and, you know, in the morning. And then, you know, about a couple hours later, I'll talk to him and he'll mention it again. And then right before the person gets here, he'll make sure he tells me that, okay, she's going to be here in 30 minutes. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, I guess that's my cue. I can't call him or I can't talk to him and I don't have access to him anymore for that afternoon. And it's just that if he wouldn't tell me about it, if he wouldn't give me that last update, I'd probably be okay. But it's just it's just like that.
I'm taking notes here.
It's just like, you know, I've got to stop talking to him at this point in time. And in most of my days, I talk to him throughout the day several times during the day. And so when he tells me that, it's like, I don't know. It's just, it gives me this weird feeling, you know, so.
I would like to point out you're probably experiencing a multitude of feelings. One is something you might not be considering. It's not just the feeling of you don't have access to him. It's kind of like missing out on a party. It's the feeling you get when you're working Friday night and all your friends are out clubbing at a party or at a show or at a concert and you didn't get to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's that feeling of not being included. And I think that's entirely different than jealousy. Jealousy is someone else has something I want. Well, people aren't property. So as soon as we can get that from our brain into our heart, we can usually stomp jealousy into a pretty small problem. But it's the feeling of being left out. And that, despite having seven partners, that's my biggest problem. Is I'm with Rebecca right now, but I've got six other people out there doing whatever, having fun. And it's like, I've got to decide where do I want to spend my time. And, you know, when there's six different parties going on, how do you decide which one you want to go to?
And here you are on the Kinky Cast.
And for us, this is sex right now. First of all, everything you do can be interpreted as sex. You know, shopping, talking, it's all mental orgasm, it's foreplay. But I think Trevor brought up a really good point about exclusion. You know, my recipe for jealousy is turn on plus exclusion. Because you're not going to be jealous if Woody's like doing his taxes with somebody.
No.
We get jealous, right? We get jealous when they're doing something fun. And you didn't name yourself as jealous. You just said that your brain gets busy, and I completely understand that. And I feel like that too, you know, Lee. I won't call him if I know he's with somebody else because it's just out of respect.
Right.
You know, unless something really is burning, I'd rather just let him have his time. And sometimes I feel like, wow, I really wish I could talk to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the antidotes to that is to make notes about things that I want to tell him. Is to make sure I'm having a really good time, even if it means sneaking off to the bathroom in the office with your Hitachi wand. you know, or making sure when you know he's on a date, you've brought a really good lunch, or you're going to go out with someone for lunch. Like, you know, so that's one of the things that helps me is making sure that I'm having a really good time, just like he's having a really good time. The other thing is that I take responsibility for his good time. I include myself. It's like, oh, I am so magnanimous that I am sharing Trevor with the world. Now, the other girls won't see it that way, but it makes me feel better.
Yeah.
That I can be like, wow. And as long as they send him back to me in good shape, and the next time I see him, he's still like all turned on and he wants to play with me now, it's all good. If he comes back exhausted and cranky, mm-hmm. I'm not too keen.
Yeah.
And that's not a lover that's going to stay in the pantheon for very long.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know, and I endeavor to always send, you know, sometimes I know he's going to see someone else. Mm-hmm. And I'll make sure to get him really wound up and then send him off and be like, oh, there's so-and-so's present.
Naya loves to do. That's like one of her things.
Yeah.
Ah, well, that's pretty hot.
My favorite. That's why she's my sister.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Including myself, however I can, is definitely one of the ways that makes it more fun. Mm-hmm. And I'm not successful 100% of the time, but often enough.
Right.
Oh, I just wanted to say that this isn't the polyamory is the only way to do it store. I think that there's something to be said for, you know, deliberately choosing monogamy if that works for you. Some people I've met in the lifestyle feel bad that they don't want to do poly. And it isn't for everybody. If you're doing monogamy because it's the only way you know how to do it and you're scared to do it any other way, that's not being deliberate in your choices. Mm-hmm. But if you've looked at what's possible, both ways have issues. When you're in a monogamous relationship, you have the issues of trying to meet 100% of your partner's needs and sometimes falling short. You still have issues of time and jealousy. And in poly, you have other issues. So you get to choose which issues you want.
Yeah.
And which lifestyle looks like more fun and more fulfilling for you.
I've never been a jealous person, or I've always said that I've never been a jealous person until I met him. And we started, you know, he's very poly. He's always been poly. He's always going to be poly. I've had several relationships at the same time. They really didn't know about each other. It was before BDS. It was very straight. So I don't have an issue with seeing other people. And I think probably if I did, it might... guess it would make things better, maybe. I don't know. Something mm-hmm. to think about, though, to work on.
Well, on that note, we have come to the end.
Wow. Time flies when you're having fun.
Time flies when you're being analyzed. I mean, actually, I think if everybody sits down and thinks about all the words that were said tonight, relationships might improve dramatically. There's a lot of good information here.
Yeah.
So when somebody wants to get in touch with you, how do we find you?
Thanks for asking. Our website is called pleasureevolution.com because we think you can grow from pursuing your pleasurable life. You can also find us under Rebecca Beneteau and Trevor Jones on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. And coming soon to a town near you.
Yeah, you can find me on FetLife as Trevor_Jones. I have Trevor Jones Facebook, Tantric Jones on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. On FetLife, I'm Wise Wild. You know, what we're doing when we're not having fascinating conversations like these tonight. First of all, thank you so much for having us on the show. This has just been so much fun.
It's been a blast.
Because this is our favorite thing, talking about sex and having sex.
And exchanging with people of like mind.
Exactly. So we do run all kinds of events currently in Nashville and soon in cities across the country. And we see clients one-on-one internationally because we work over Skype in addition to seeing people in person. Mm-hmm. We give people a half-hour free consult called a Gratified Life Discovery Session. It's basically an interview to find out what you're wanting and what those obstacles are, and building some strategies and some resources for how you can create the really gratifying sexual and romantic life that you want.
Fantastic. On our Hot Links page will be all those links. And we thank you very much, Trevor and Rebecca, for joining us tonight on the Kinky Cast.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you, Woody.
Thank you, Lee. Thank you, Woody and Lee.
You have been listening to episode 58 of the Kinky Cast. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. Next week we talk about Protocol with Lauren Kwan. On behalf of Woody, Lee, and all our Kinky crew, I'm Max. See you next week.